It is HBR, All Things Considered. I'm Dave Lawrence. Grateful you are with us. Thank you so much for doing this. We have a great last-minute chance to talk with the legendary Todd Rundgren, who is not just legendary in the rock and roll world, but, of course, has a huge spot here in the island. Tonight at the Hawaii Theater, Friday at the Performing Arts Center at KCC on the Garden Isle, then Saturday, Porter Pavilion, a Nainoho Community Park. Pleasure to welcome back Todd now. Hey, my brother.
How's it going?
It's going good. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you. It's always a privilege to be on the public radio.
And it's a privilege for us, too, because I try to interpret what they want to hear. When you're not traveling for work, are you full-time living on Kauai?
Yes, I am.
And you still have a place on the continent? Or?
No, I don't. I used to for a while, but it turned out that if I'm on the mainland, I'm mostly traveling when I'm at home, which is maybe about 25% of the year. You know, I just kind of relish not having to travel every day.
Sure, man. And what a great place to get to do that. Thinking about your set list, because there's all these different kinds of songs. Maybe it's because I grew up in the Philly area, lovely Wilmington. But the thing, yeah. I don't know if I'm sensitive, that's why I'm saying, to songs you may be playing. Kind of like aromatherapy music can be like that. I sort of experienced that when I put on We Gotta Get You a Woman. It was like, where am I? Am I 1970? My mom's car? What is it? I'm sure you understand what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but I was just wondering what kind of aroma the song evoked.
Listen to you.
Well, there is always this sort of push and pull between, you know, as an artist, you don't want to stop, you don't want to slow down, you want to continue to create. But the audience, for me, I had a period where I was sort of popular. And when people are young and they hear some of these songs for the first time, it actually, it becomes a soundtrack to the experiences they're going through. And then years and years later, it's not as if they're still going through the same things, but they want to recall those youthful times when they were, you know, experiencing these emotions intensely and sometimes for the first time. And there's always that, those two things colliding, you know, people wanting to hear the old stuff all the time, even though you can't deliver it with the same kind of sincerity because, you know, it's something of the past. At the same time, you still have things that you want to express to them that they may not have heard before.
That's amazing, man. And that's so humbling and insightful to the battle of so many classic rock artists, if I may say that, that you just eloquently and just so humbly put it out there. It is. It's such a struggle. And it's like people want desperately to hear their favorite tune. And then it's very difficult sometimes to even pull it off as they expected it to be played. And yet you have your own stuff that you want to play.
We are sort of obligated, but I see, what I do is I don't do those songs until the very end of the show, because I figure some people, they just come to hear those songs, and as soon as they hear them,
they're out.
They'll start trickling out, you know. You know, you say get bored with the less familiar stuff. So I kind of keep them in their seats by doing that sort of stuff at the very end, but we do it. I've tried to work Bang the Drum out of my repertoire.
Sure.
You know, Bang the Drum, partly because it slows the show down so much. We have to haul out of timbales and stuff like that. Thinking of all, it's just from a lyrical standpoint, it's just a shouting match. And worst of all, it screws my hands up, you know, because I have to play drums on it. And my hands at my age, you know, are getting a little more fragile. And I don't want to screw them up by beating nuts on it.
Yeah, man. I totally
beating them to death, essentially. Yeah,
I totally get it.
But
there's on your production side, you were going to produce Janis Joplin's Pearl. When did you first meet Janis?
I met her actually at her house. I was, I hadn't met her before. She was being managed by Albert Grossman, and I was also being managed by Albert Grossman, and I was essentially there to do pre-production and production and stuff on recording projects for principally for his artists. They sent me out to Mill Valley where she was living, and there was kind of the elements of her band were there learning songs, and everybody who wanted her to record a song was coming in or auditioning songs. John Hall came in with Half Moon, and Nick Gravenites came in with a song, and they would kind of audition the songs for her. The one sort of interesting thing that was educative for me is that one day we get a call that says, I'm going to be late, everybody. I'm down at the police station. Something like that, And not 5 minutes later, I'm walking by her bedroom, and the door is open, and she's in her bedroom with a young guy that she picked up the night before. And so I sort of felt, like she didn't take the process particularly seriously, or she wanted it to be over. And then they sent a song to us from the Grossman office, said, we're going to put you together with the Paul Butterfield Band. This is just out of the blue. Nobody sees this coming. We're going to put you together with the Butterfield Band. You're going to go down to L.A. and record this song. We were kind of all blindsided by it. Tried to work out an arrangement. We were in a Columbia Union studio, and I wasn't used to that. You're not allowed to touch anything on the console.
Because of the union rules, you're saying.
Yeah, and they take a break every 3 hours, no matter where you, okay, we're ready to do a take. They say, no, break time. But the thing I discovered is that she needed a certain kind of producer because she doesn't like the process of recording because there's no audience. She needed an audience to kind of get her fired up. So she got a different producer, and essentially his approach was to encourage her constantly, and that was never my strong point.
All right, final two questions, and that's a huge lead in. So with this, we're talking about his impressive producer legacy and one that didn't work out, but in terms of either how much dough you made, or on the other side, I just really had such an incredible time, and I love telling this story because it was a special moment.
Well, I would have to say in the long run, the former, Bat Out of Hell, which was started out as a losing proposition. Obviously, I was doing it for some other reason. The stated reason has been that Bat Out of Hell for me was a spoof of Bruce Springsteen. And so that's how I got through it. But nobody expected it to succeed the way it did. And in the long run, it succeeded so well that it enabled me to buy the property I'm now living on. And so that's why the record, it started out as, I had to pay for it because he fired his label right before we started the recording. And in the end, it was a gamble that paid off to the extent that I've been living here for 25 years now. No, 30 years. Yes. Been living here in Kauai. So
there you go. That's why I set that question up. Todd Rundgren tonight, Hawaii Theater, and then he's Friday, the start of two nights on the Garden Isle. He's going to be at KCC Performing Arts Center Friday night, and then Saturday, Porter Pavilion in Ninaho Community Park. Bringing it to close with a bang, and a great thing to have you back on as part of our Thanksgiving weekend programming, if you will, and really hope you had a good time going through some of these stories with me today, my brother.
Always fun. Happy holidays.
You too. Stay safe, Todd. Really appreciate it, brother.
You too.
Aloha.
Take care.
You too.
Aloha.
Leroy, boy, is that you? I thought your post-hanging days were through. Sunken eyes and full of sighs. Tell no lies. You get wise. I tell you now. Get you friend. You say how and I'll say when. Come and meet me down the street. Take a seat. It's my treat. You may not ever get this chance again. That empty feeling's just about to end. We gotta get you a woman. It's like nothing else to make you feel sure you're alive. We gotta get you a woman. We better get walking. We're wasting time talking now. Talking about life and what it means to you. It don't mean nothing if it don't run through. I got one thing to say, you know it's true. You got to find some time to get this thing together, cause we gotta get you a woman. It's like nothing else to make you feel sure you're alive. We gotta get you a woman. We better get walking. We're wasting time talking now. Talking about things about that special stupid, but they sure are fun. I'll give it to you while we're on the run, because we ain't got time to get this thing together, cause woman who has been around, one who knows better than to let you down. Let's hope there's still one left in this whole town.